Morning. Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. Special welcome to Joni McAuliffe, who's here both from Glendale and also especially from Coins this morning. If you don't know what Coins is, you will do by the end of this morning's service. She'll tell you all about it. Special welcome to Daniel Ferguson on his first day in church here too. Lovely to see all the family. You'll notice that things look a little bit different this morning. That's because we had a lovely wedding here yesterday afternoon. We got those pictures, Phil. Let's have a look. There we are, and there's another one too. There we are. It's a lovely occasion, and all our very best to Joe and to Ian. Lots of things coming up in the very near future. We have the light party on the 31st of October. And that is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Great fun, likely to be very busy. If you're thinking you're coming but haven't told us yet, please do tell us. And we have our quiz night coming up on the 17th of November. Have you got your team together yet? Have you thought about who you could invite? Dave Forty is going to be sharing his testimony as part of that evening, which is a story you've probably not heard before. Bring your friends along and make sure you gather a table's worth together. Now, you probably remember us praying over many weeks for Carl's friend Philippa. Things are improving, but there's still a ways to go. A little message here says, Philippa continues to progress every day. There have been numerous dips of varying sorts, but the trend in her progress is upwards. She's had two day outings to neuro rehab wards in London, one of which has agreed to put her on the waiting list. And so we need to pray that that appointment comes really as soon as it possibly can. Open house is this afternoon. Lots of fun, families with children, and that's at 4:15. That is 4:15, isn't it? I got it right, yes. Do come along. If you're not coming along, please pray for it. It's a really important moment in the life of the children in the church. And just one other piece of news I wanted to share with you. Again, please, for your prayers. As of a committee meeting earlier this week, I've now been appointed as the voluntary chaplain to West Berks District Council. This is a great privilege and a great opportunity to be there for the Lord, but it's new territory both for them and for me. So please, if you would pray for that as it gets underway, I would be extremely grateful. Let's listen to these wonderful words from Hebrews chapter 12. Shall we stand up ready to worship God together? This is what it says. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven.
Turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome the power. Our God, our God. Into the dark. Darkness to shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God.
God, this morning we recognize the otherness of you, the majesty, the power, the bits that we can't grasp. And yet we want to stand knowing that you are also the God who dwelt among us, who came into time and space and who made yourself known so that we can know of that power and that presence in our own lives. We want to acknowledge that this morning, and we ask you again that you would come and be in us and reign through us, that we would be ambassadors to you in Newbury, shining and giving off the message of the good news. Amen. Let's stand and sing a prayer, I guess, to invite the Lord to be over everything, our thoughts, dreams, future, past. Won't you reign in us again?
Down. Now, I wasn't able to get this box out last week because we had a lovely dedication service. So I have brought it today and it has got something in. Come and have a look. Come and see what's in the story box today. It's more of you than ever. It's great. Wow. Look, what a big crowd of people. Now, I have got something in here. I'm going to get it out in a minute. But does any of you ever get that feeling when you think, like, everybody else is more important than you are? Anybody ever get that? You know, and you think, oh, you know, everybody else is quicker than me, or taller than me, or prettier than me, or cleverer than me, or whatever it is. And you think, oh, well, I'm right at the bottom of the list. Now, God never wanted us to think that about him. God never, ever, ever, ever thinks that any of us is any less important than anybody else. So I've got a story about that in here. Now, what do you think might be in a little bag like that? I'm not going to shake it. What do you think might be in it? What do you think?
Money.
Well, anybody else got anything? What do you think?
Keys.
Any advance on keys?
Gold.
Let's have a listen.
Money.
I reckon it's money. Now, this story is about a person who had 10 silver coins. So let's just check. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, oh, eight, nine. One of them was missing. Now, you might think that if she had nine anyway, it didn't really matter. But it did. And she looked everywhere. She looked under the bed and in the back of the cupboard and on top of the wardrobe and underneath the cat and in the garden and in the kitchen and under her flower jar, everywhere she could possibly think. Because you see, that one coin meant as much to her as any of you do. Jesus said, look, I'm telling you this story so you get it, that there's nobody who matters any less than anybody else. So she found her one, two, three, she'd got her nine coins. Well, there. That's a quick bit of maths, well done. So she found her nine coins, she put them in the bag, and then she searched absolutely everywhere until she found the last one. And God said, that's the way I go looking for you. Absolutely everywhere, because every one of you matters. But you know, I wish I knew what had happened to my 10th coin, because I'm sure I put 10 in the bag this morning. I'm just going to check again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There were 10 coins. Has any of you got my 10th coin?
Nope.
Has anybody out there got my 10th coin? Who's hidden my 10th coin?
It's in the bag the whole time.
No, it's not in the bag. Who's got my...
Richard?
Ah.
I can see it. It's just down here.
Oh, bring it over then. Bring it over.
I'll bring it to you.
Come and join us.
Everyone.
Somebody squidge up a bit. Make a bit of room for Joanie. Look, to come and join us.
Oh, thanks. Let me see.
So what's with you and the coins then?
Oh, so my name's Joanie and I run an organisation, a charity that's called Coins. And it goes into lots of different schools and it talks about Jesus and it gives people the opportunity to learn more about him, but also grow in their relationship with him. So what school do you go to?
Winchcombe.
Winchcombe. Well, we go into Winchcombe and we do the Christmas gift in Winchcombe. What school do you go to school, yeah?
Willows.
The Willows. Do you know we're going into the Willows? My children go to the Willows. What school do you go to?
I go to John Rankin.
Do you know we go to John Rankin as well? What school do you go to?
Falkland.
Falkland. We go to Falkland as well. What school do you go to? John Rankin too, we're definitely there. What school do you go to?
John Rankin
too. Is there anyone that goes to any different schools? Oh, what do you go to?
Speenham.
We go there. What one?
Falkland.
We do, we go there.
There's one behind you.
The Willows, we go there.
Yessenden Primary School.
Do you know we go there as well?
Emma.
Do you? Yeah, that's right. Emma does. What school do you go to?
My husband goes to John Rankin.
So we go to all of your schools. What school?
St Mark's Coldash.
Do you know we don't go to St Mark's Coldash, but we can pray about going to St Mark's Coldash. So it's really lovely to meet you, and I might see you at some point coming into your schools. So, yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you for having me here at your church today.
Let's pray for Joanie, shall we? Just now, shall we? Father, thank you that Joanie can go into all those schools and tell stories like this one. And she can tell everybody, everybody in all those schools that they matter to God. And we pray for her as she does that this week. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you.
Let's sing a song, shall we?
Yeah. We're going to sing a song, and it really is good news, which is kind of the name of the song. It is good news because this song makes that point that Richard was saying, that every single person matters to God. And I love this song because it captures probably a reflection of where everybody could be at in this church. The one who's lost, the one who's found, the one who's weary and needs some rest. And it's good news for all. So you are welcome because Christ welcomes you. Let's stand and sing, He's Our Rescuer.
He's our rescuer, He's our rescuer. We are free from sin forevermore. Oh, how sweet the sound, oh, how grace abounds. We will praise the Lord, our rescuer. There is good news for the captives, good news for the shame.
Please sit down. If you're going out to one of the groups, perhaps you'd like to make your way there now.
Invite you to stand. We're going to sing again, Strength Will Rise, as we wait upon the Lord. This lovely biblical image of rising up on the wings of eagles. And that power and that majesty that we spoke about and sung about the first song, actually, that strength through the Holy Spirit is available to us as we wait and as we dwell. He will walk with us and lift us. So just a song of encouragement. So I just invite you to stand if you can, sit if you'd like to, but let's sing Strength Will Rise.
You reign forever.
please sit down. Joni, we'd love to hear a bit more about what you're doing. Come and tell us.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So my name's Joni McAuliffe, and personally I go to Glendale Church, but I'm here in my official capacity of what my day job is, which is running, being the team leader for COINS, which stands for Christian Outreach in Newbury Schools. And it is my absolute pleasure to come and speak to you about the work that we do, because we are on one hand the lead for schools work in West Berkshire, for the church, but at the same time we are the absolute servant of all the churches in Newbury, and we really stand and we try to connect children with churches and churches with children, so that everyone gets the opportunity at least once, if they live in West Berkshire, to hear the news that there is a God in heaven that loves them, that knows them, that has a plan and a future and a hope for them when they step into relationship with him. And this is absolutely good news, and I get to do this as my day job, but as a church you get to do it too, as someone who, as a church that supports the work of COINS. But I could hear, I could talk to you, but it's never quite the same as actually seeing it. So I've got a really short little video that just explains a little bit more about what we do on a day to day. Actually, this is probably wrong. This is from last year. We've probably done 40 assemblies this term already, because we have had a real huge increase in interest from schools. It's been quite remarkable this since September, the amount of people that have been coming to us and going, oh, actually, can you come? Can you get involved? And we're now at a position where we've got more schools that want us to be involved than I've got people to help. So that is an amazing place to be, but I do need people to help, because there is a real demand from the schools. We're just in the process at the moment of putting together the Christmas gift, which is our interactive presentation, creative presentation, which shares the absolutely mind-blowing news that God came from heaven to earth and took on the clothes of humanity. Like, I wouldn't say it like that to our children, but this is the incarnation is one of the most incredible things, and we get to talk about it. And so if you want to join us in that, then I'm looking for volunteers who will help the children create a craft in small groups. We've been going into primary schools for quite a long time, and the provision in primary schools is really fantastic. And part of my remit now, as we move forward, as I've just come and taken on the role, is to develop our secondary school work. And so I'm really excited to tell you about two different projects that I've got starting. They're just seeds. And that is something called God and the Big Bang that I'm hoping to roll out to Key Stage 3, which is the 11 to 13. And that looks at faith and science, and it's a something that you would do on a special day, and that's really exciting. And the other one is something called the P word, which I've got my first one of the P word next half term, and that is a sex and relationships scheme of presentation, which looks primarily at the effects of pornography. Because I just think if we as the Christians don't go in to, and talk to our children about healthy boundaries and talk to them about keeping themselves safe and keeping and tell them and talk openly about the things that really are damaging, then who else is going to do it? It has to be us. We have to step up to this. So I'm really, really excited about those things for our secondary schools. So how might you want to get involved with us? Well, absolutely connect with us. Get our prayer letter and get our newsletter and be praying for us. We really are out there bringing the gospel to people who've never heard it. This is frontline work, and we desperately need your prayers for protection and for continued favour from the schools to allow us to go in. Like, we can only do it in partnership with the schools. And so pray with us. You may want to invest in us, either in a regular ongoing direct debit, or you might want to just give us a one-off gift for something that we've got going on. So you might want to give us some money towards the P word, which is costing about £1,000 to get off the ground, or God and the Big Bang, which again is another £1,000 to get off the ground. And so these things, well, we don't like to talk about it too much, they do cost money. So, but you might not want to support us regularly, but you actually will go, oh yeah, I could give you some money towards that specifically. And that would be amazing. Perhaps you want to nurture your own gifts of evangelism with us. And we are looking for volunteers, both for our clubs that we have, and so that's an ongoing commitment, but also to our one-off events. And if you would like to do that, I would love to hear from you. I'm also looking for someone who'd like to do administration. So if in a voluntary capacity. So if you have a gift for detail, eye for detail, which I don't always have, then it would be wonderful to connect with you. We also are looking for a treasurer. So if you've got a mind for numbers, it would be absolutely fantastic if someone from Newbury Baptist Church could be our treasurer, because on our fantastic trustee team, which is run by Sian, who sits at the front, she's the chair, we've got almost all the churches represented. We've got Glendale, we've got St Nick's, we've got Thatcham. And so it would be brilliant if on that team there could also be someone from Newbury Baptist Church. So if you've got a mind for numbers, if you haven't, please don't apply. But if you have, then that would be really, really fantastic. And then I'll be available at the end to talk a bit more about it. But yeah, coins is brilliant. Thank you for the support that you've given so far. Join us for some more, because it's getting more and more exciting. And thank you, Richard.
Well, thank you. I'm going to pray for you a minute. Just this week, yep. What's the most exciting thing you're going to do? What's the most challenging thing perhaps you're going to do?
So I am going to the iCollege, which is the PRU, the Pupil Referral Unit,
right,
to finalise our details on the P word, which is
okay.
Our new,
right,
new thing. So yep. That would be, I'd like prayer, yeah, for that.
Okay. Let's stand up, shall we, to pledge our support for Joni and for coins as we pray for her. Father, we thank you for this work to which you have called Joni, and we thank you for her transparent enthusiasm for it. Father, we pray for strength and inspiration just whenever she needs it. And this week, in particular, as she goes to the pupil referral unit, Father, we pray that all she has to present would make sense to those who hear it, and that this would be the start of something that reverses a toxic trend in the schools. Father, we pray for your anointing on her for all this work and for that little piece of it in particular. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you please sit down as Di comes to read us from Luke's Gospel. Thank you.
So we're reading this morning from Luke chapter 9, and it's verses 28 to 36. entitled The Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen.
Isn't that the most extraordinary passage? It's really struck by the word glory. So the heavenly glory of Jesus displayed in that brief moment, a wonderful passage. We're going to hear a bit more about that. And this next song, I guess, encapsulates that glory of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. And I'm going to invite you to stand if you'd like to, or remain seated. And I think as Joni was talking, I was encouraged to sort of prompt you, really, as we sing this, isn't that what we want, the glory of Jesus to be demonstrated in our schools and in these young lives? So maybe as you sing it, you might have a school that's on your heart, a school that you know at, and just encourage you to be thinking and praying that the glory of Jesus would be shown to those children in that school. So let's stand and sing, "What a Beautiful Name It Is."
Hidden glory in creation.
Do you please sit down? A lot of you will know, particularly those who've been to courses that I've taught, that I'm a big fan of advertising, especially of TV advertising. There's an eloquence and creativity from making every second count, where every second costs hundreds of thousands of pounds, from which most of us could learn. But I'm not a fan of car adverts. I don't buy into that whole thing about lifestyle and acquisitiveness, and I don't enjoy the swagger that goes along with them. And I was watching television on Wednesday night, and a new advert came up for a Toyota SUV. And I couldn't quite believe what I was hearing. So I looked it up later on, and I played it back on YouTube, and then I found out what the soundtrack was, and then I went and found the soundtrack, and I looked at the lyrics. It's a song by Depeche Mode, quite an old song by Depeche Mode, called Personal Jesus. Reach out and touch faith, your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares, your own personal Jesus. There is no such thing. There is no personal Jesus tailored to our needs, whose challenges are muted so as not to offend us, and whose encouragements are boosted in order to lift us. There is no such thing. Any of the men who were at the men's breakfast earlier this month would have seen my collection of tasteless religious gifts that people have given me. One is this. It's a bobblehead Jesus. Says at the back, Jesus waves, get it? Jesus waves, and it's solar powered, and you know, he bobbles about on your dashboard as your little friend. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, the writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus is the exact representation of his being. That all the glory and all the radiance and all the power of God comes down focused into the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is a reflection of a being so bright that Elijah had to hide himself in a crevice in the rock and turn away because he couldn't bear to look at it. Jesus is a reflection of a being so bright whose glory is so enormous that even the reflection of it on the face of Moses meant that he had to cover up his face, because otherwise people would have had to turn away because they couldn't have looked at a light so bright. Now remember Luke's job. Remember Luke said right at the beginning of the gospel, he's writing for his patron Theophilus, he says, no, I'm going to research this whole Jesus thing and I'm going to report it to you accurately. He says, I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I decide to write an orderly account for you. If he was going to do that, then this whole glory thing has to come in too. You know, if he's going to talk about Jesus as he really is, then this moment has to be recorded as well. So what is it that actually happens in this rather odd story? Well, Jesus and his friends are still mulling over what had happened with the feeding of the 5,000. It's just in the previous chapter. This amazing moment when it had revealed to them something of his awesome power. And then he takes with him the kind of inner circle, James and Peter and John, and they start to head up the mountain. This isn't, by the way, like climbing, you know, Beacon Hill. Mount Hermon, 9,100 feet high, snow on the top of it most of the year round. It would have taken them about 6 hours to climb to the top. And when it got to the top, there would have been fabulous views. They could have looked to the south towards the Sea of Galilee and Damascus in the east. And if they strained a little bit out towards the west, they could see the sea in the distance. But actually, the disciples didn't see any of it. They were so exhausted when they got to the top that they fell asleep. And as they slumber on, Jesus prays and something incredible happens. If you've got the passage in front of you, you'll see it written there. As they slumber on and Jesus prays, verse 29, this incredible thing happens, and heaven touches earth in such a way that Jesus looks as if he is wearing lightning. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And as if that weren't enough, then the two greatest figures in Old Testament history suddenly seem to appear in amongst all that radiance, chatting to him. There is Moses and there is Elijah. Moses representing the law, God's gift to a people who had whom he'd chosen, but who had no sense of themselves. Elijah, a man whose prophetic vision outshone everyone in his generation, seeing and saying things about God that nobody else had ever even imagined. And they stand there, the three of them talking, and the conversation goes to and fro as they talk about his departure, not his departure to the bottom of the mountain, his departure to the very depths of hell and human suffering. And then Peter starts to stir. And he looks up and he rubs his eyes and he can't quite believe what's going on. And he blurts out, oh, well, maybe we should build a tent for all of them, like the tents that Jews have in the Festival of Tabernacles when they build a little tent outside the back of their house. He said, oh, well, maybe we should do that and so we can keep the moment. And then the cloud comes and God speaks. Then the moment's passed. It's all gone. Elijah's gone, and Moses is gone, and the cloud's gone, and the lightning's gone. And then Jesus walks down the hill with them. So what was that all about then? That's what happened. And somebody who was there, either James or Peter or John, must have spilled the beans about it. That's how we know. Probably it was Peter many, many years later when he was working in Rome, and Mark was sent there to work with him, and Mark took down Peter's recollections and turned them into a gospel, and then the other people, Matthew and Luke, got hold of it. Probably that's how the story came down to us, but it's a really weird story. Why does it matter? It matters because it drives a coach and horses through any mundane view of Jesus. It matters because it ranks him right up there with two of the biggest figures in the whole of salvation history. It matters because it places Jesus in a continuum that stretches all the way back to the very, very beginning when God, all alone in the universe, speaks and says, "Let there be light." It matters because it affects the people who saw it very, very deeply. And maybe that's the bit where it connects most with our lives. Listen, I don't believe that God ever gives you a spectacular experience of him purely for your own sake. God very, very rarely reveals his glory in such a way that we are intended to keep it to ourselves. You know, we see a prayer answered, and the whole idea is that that makes us pray all the more vigorously next time for someone else to see their prayers answered. We find ourselves transfigured by worship, and in that lightning bolt moment of heaven touching earth, we feel different in that second, and it makes us expect it more next time we come to worship, and it makes us bring more with us. And we bring more prayerful expectancy into that next encounter with God. Or we find ourselves spectacularly bowled over by the miraculous provision of God. And it makes us more generous next time. Because we know that he provided. Or we find ourselves like the 10th coin. Searched for and rescued and cherished, and it drives us to find the other lost ones as well. You see, God loves you and you and you. The writer of The Shack has it absolutely right, I think, when God seems to refer to absolutely everyone in the book as saying, oh, I'm especially fond of you. Because he is. And his vision is always wider than any single one of us. Moments like this story are a reminder to us that we are tiny and he is enormous. They are a reminder to us that he transcends time and space and the physical laws of the universe, whilst all the while we are trapped by all three of them. It's a reminder of who he is. You know, I didn't have a good night watching television on Wednesday. Not only was there the advert, there was the Bake Off, which I haven't watched since it moved to Channel 4, but I kind of got caught up with it on Wednesday. I don't know how many of you saw this moment when they're preparing for the last round, and this guy has the audacity to say, before his last round, when he cooks his showstopper, I think I probably feel a bit like Jesus on Maundy Thursday before Good Friday. What the heck? You know, and I smiled, and then I almost cried. You know, how dare anybody belittle the majesty and the pathos of Jesus to turn it into an allusion towards what they're baking the next day? How dare they? You know, Luke would have been shirking in his responsibility to tell it like it is if he had not included this particular story to show us the heavenly and miraculous power that drapes around the shoulders of Christ. So if that's what went on, and that's why it matters, what difference, if any, did it make? Those three people up the mountain with him, Peter, James, and John, what did it actually do to them? Well, you know, Peter, despite his own early and very dramatic failings, went on to be just the kind of rock-like figure that Jesus had promised he would be. He preached his heart out on Pentecost Day. 3,000 people got baptized. He kept on going every time someone tried to shut him up. He never let go of the commission that Jesus had given to him to spread the word and feed the sheep. He died giving glory to his Lord, having spent every last drop of his life in service to the kingdom. Tell me, who but a man who had been there on top of that mountain and seen the lightning-clad face of Jesus could write words like these? This is Peter's second letter. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Who but someone who'd been there to see Jesus on that day could have written words like that? And then there was John, you know, John who was faithful to the end. John who was ripped away from his community and imprisoned on the island of Patmos, a bit like Robben Island where Nelson Mandela was. And finally, in his very old age, released back to the church in Ephesus. Who but a man who had been there at that moment on top of that mountain, seeing these things happening with Jesus, who but a man like that could have written words like this about the reality of Jesus, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. You see what it's doing to these people? And then James, you know, James, who was a faithful servant and leader in the early church, James, who helped to iron out some of the kinks which were there from bringing Jew and Gentile and slave and free together. Who but a man who had been on the top of that mountain could write with such conviction that God would come up with the goods when the end of everything came? James 5, verse 7. Be patient, he says, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm. Why? Because the Lord's coming is near. You see what it had done to him? And maybe actually it's what he then goes on to write that's more important. Instead of being in awe of Elijah, upon whom he'd clapped eyes, which was quite a big deal, he then goes on to say, I'm more in awe of what people can do with through people like us, as well as people like Elijah. A bit later on in James 5, he talks about this man that he'd seen, Elijah. He says, then, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he goes on to urge his readers to do likewise. That's the point. That's what this moment did to these people. You know, it kept Peter faithful to the very end. It gave James a vision of the fact that God said, when God said a thing, he meant it. It gave to John that ability to stick with it right to the end and to say to people, this Jesus that we're talking about, we've seen and we've heard and we've met. That's the point. That this spectacular thing happens and it reveals the glory of God, and then it transforms those who experience it. That's the point of these experiences that God gives to us. I have to confess that when I first saw the passage for today, my heart sank. and I wondered why on earth it had been chosen until I remembered that I was the one who'd chosen it. Why is it there? It's there to remind us that our experiences of God have to count. And the more dramatic and the more life-changing they are, the more they have to count. Listen, beloved MBC, friends, the script of my life in the past nearly 2 years now is not the script I would have written for myself. I've passed through valleys darker and more challenging than I would ever have anticipated. I tell you what, the script that I would have written of my life would certainly not have included a senior BBC producer saying to me over cheese and wine, you know, really, you're kind of our death guy now. But I do believe that God is using even that to signpost people to the kingdom in unexpected places. What is it that you are going through right now or have just gone through that God wants you to use for the sake of his kingdom? What is it that he's showing you right now or that he's taking you through with his hand held in yours that he wants you to share with somebody else? It might be that it's the mountaintop where life feels so good and God feels so real that you feel as if you could almost reach out and touch his face. It may be it's a valley so steep that you must strain to hear the sound of the shepherd's distant voice, and only occasionally can you glimpse the sun. Whichever of those it is, God can use your experience of him to bless others and to point to his glory. And I say that from personal and costly experience. God takes you to these places, and God shows you his glory in them, never just for you, but always for the others who will see him through you. What is it that he's showing you right now, I wonder? Let's pray together. Father, we so want to see you more clearly. We so want to reflect your glory more accurately. And dear God, every time we see you, please, will you help us to turn that experience into something that counts for the kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We sing together at the name of Jesus.
Oh,
we ask the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.